Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers all over the world. Happy Mother's Day. Isn't it great to be a mom? You know, we talk a lot about Abraham. Today we're going to talk about what it's called his better half. It's Mother's Day. But Dad, you know what it is, and you know the secret. Mama happy, Dad rejoices. So pay attention and listen. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. Happy Mother's Day to my sweet little mama-in-law. What a beautiful season. What a wonderful time. Today's going to be something else. If you're expecting something that you've asked for, God's going to do better than that. If you've been believing God to do something that you've asked Him for, He's going to do better than that. He's going to do better than that. A while ago, I got a little creek in my back, a little crick in my back, a little river in my back. I don't know what it was. I went to the chiropractor, and my daughter said to me just before I headed out, she said, "You've got him, Dad. You've got him." Because, you know, a chiropractor feels like you're in a wrestling match sometimes. So I'm on my face, and he's working on me, and he's got me one of those holes. And I said, "Doc, I've got you right where I want you." Well, I want to tell you something. God has you right where He wants you. No matter what condition you feel you are in today, God has you right where He wants you. He knows exactly where He needs you to be in order to do exactly what He has promised to do. And whether you know this or not, before you asked Him, He's already planned it out. And His plans for you are so much greater and so far beyond. This is true. So far beyond what you could ask or think. And He's working that all out according to the power that works on the inside of you. And I want you to believe that something beyond what has been planned, something beyond what you have prayed for, something beyond what you thought is taking place today. Something beyond you. God's beyond you. He's beyond space. He's beyond time. He's beyond the past. He's beyond the future. He's beyond. And this beyond God that you serve, this beyond God that you love, this beyond God that loves you today is going to assign things to you and for you that weren't planned out, that you couldn't put together, that you couldn't synthesize or realize or idolize. God's doing something so far, so superior to your intentions that it's going to cause praise and worship to pour out of you organically, because God knows He has you right where He wants you. And all you need to do now is stand firm in that and see God glorified in it, because you're already in position. You're right where God wants you. He has you right where He wants you, and He's going to do through you exactly what He said. This is the greatest season of your lives. You can take your seats this morning. How great is God? We say here all the time that the kingdom of God is within you. And as we study the scriptures and we read and we've been ministered to for years, we've heard that we are the seed of Abraham. And we say, see how God spoke to Abraham about something that was so superior to who he is, or who he believed himself to be, or who he thought he was, or beyond his years, or beyond his strength. And I'm going to read this to you. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, speaking about Abraham, it says, "Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was dead also. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. That word strengthened is a really powerful word here. He was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that God's power could do what he had promised. And this is why it was credited to him for righteousness. He believed that God had the power to do what he said. And what God said to Abraham was that he was going to give him a seed that would be nations. And this is why it was credited to him for righteousness, because he was fully persuaded. These words that are written to his credit were not written for him alone, but also for you, who God will credit righteousness for us who believe that he is the one Jesus raised from the dead. This word credited for righteousness and the word strength is really empowering, because we talk a lot about the kingdom of God here and the kingdom of God being present, but there's a really key word, a very, very precise, very specific key word here to the kingdom of God, and that word is king, kingdom of God. And to walk in the power that God had called Abraham and Sarah to was a different kind of position. Just like, and the word says right here, Abraham's position, his call to the promise of God, which is a call to kingship, was the same power that was credited to him for righteousness. So, if you can believe God, that the kingdom of God is within you, then you can believe God that he's called you to a position of royalty. And then the word calls us kings and priests. But you cannot function with royal authority in a kingdom unless you are a king, or unless you are a princess. Sarai was Sarah's name first, and it meant Abraham's princess. But God said, I'm renaming you, I'm calling you Sarah, which is my princess. And you will be, and you will give birth to, nations. Abraham's Sarai was his princess. But Sarah was God's. Abraham's was to his tent, his princess to his tent. But God's princess was his princess to the nations. And God said to Sarah, he said, you will bear a seed. And when Sarah heard the word says she laughed. And then God said, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. And the word says, because she was afraid, because she knew she had laughed. But we think about Abraham and what God had to do with Abraham and his body. But I want to tell you something. Abraham, the word says, believed God. And he was able to produce seed of Hagar. So Abraham's womb, Abraham's body came alive because he believed God. But Sarah was key here. Sarah was key to the kings of nations. Moms, women, there is a key to your kingship. And there is a king that dwells on the inside of you. You are a royal nation. Sarah had to become a royal nation. She had to believe in a royal position. She had to have royal faith. And it took her a second. And when you understand the position of royalty, everything that comes your way is perceived in a different way rather than if you feel you are a slave. The word says as long as you were a slave, you didn't have the power to take authority in the earth, even though you were destined to do so. And the word says many stumbled at the word, disobeyed the message, and never attained the power of royalty, but rather remained slaves, even though they were destined to be royalty. See, the kingdom of God is one of royalty. The reason a lot of people can't operate and believe that everything that is coming into their lives is that of a royal decree is because they've never taken their position, they've never had their coronation of royalty. And God's kingdom is a royal kingdom. And the faith of God is the faith of royalty. You have the faith of royalty. You have royal faith through Christ. There's a difference in having faith based on what you believe you can do. And God had called Abraham, just as he's called you, to a position of royalty. Because listen to me, without royal standing, we can't do what we have been destined to do, even though you're destined to do it. There has to be a coronation. Sarah had to have a royal coronation so she could take on the royal attitude that God had called her, not to bear a son to Abraham, but a son unto God, according to the will of the Father. And the Word says this wasn't one seed. It wasn't just about Isaac. It was about what Isaac represented. It was about Isaac being a seed of promise and not just the seed of a young man, not just the seed of a young woman. The Word teaches us that Abraham believed God. Abraham received the promise. But Sarah had to carry it. Now you can imagine Sarah laughing, because if you're 90 years old and you're told you're going to have a baby, there's more involved than just having a baby. Although just having a baby, I've watched my wife give birth to two, just having a baby is a big deal. At 90 years old, she's laughing because she knows what she's about to experience having a child. She has to care for the child. She has to nurse the child. She has to change his diapers. She doesn't just need the strength to believe God that he could do something through her. She has to conceive the strength that she will become a different kind of woman. She's no longer a slave to her husband, but she becomes a princess to him. Your royal call is not to be a slave in the earth, a slave to problems or trials or difficult times. Your position is one of royalty. Your position is a stature where God says, I call you princess, mine, princess of nations. Our call isn't just to get saved and make it through. Our call and the position of this day is a call of high standing. It is a call of supreme royalty. It is a monarch. It is a monarchy of God's royal authority and power. And if we don't take that position, we'll stand as slaves believing that the kingdom is within us, but never the coronation of kingship, so we can walk into the king's court. So we can make the decree. God knew what he needed to do within Sarah. He had to work in her heart. He had to work it within her mind, where she took on the attitude that she was willing to go through the coronation. She had to believe that God would not only give her a seed, but that she would have the strength and the power to care for an infant at the age of 90 years old, when she believed her body was dead. Abraham believed his body was dead, and it was. But his royal faith was not. And God awakens us today to the royalty of our faith. The Word says you're no longer slaves. The kingdom of God, which means the king, presides within you. All of God's kingdom is all about royalty. It's all about supreme stature in Christ. If you can have the faith to be born again, then you have the faith to conceive royalty. Because they're one and the same. This birth, this new birth in Christ, is not one of slavery. It's not one of pity. It's one of promise. God didn't save you because he took pity on you. God saved you because he had a position for you. He didn't save you because you were in trouble. He saved you because he had ordained you for a supreme courtship, for supreme authority, that the kingdom of God would be manifest. Jesus didn't fill you with the Spirit so you could make it through. He said, I'm praying the Father send you the Comforter so you can bear witness to the King of all kings. So you can stand in the courtship of God's royal power. So the staff in your hand was exactly like Moses. God had to tell Moses, the stick in your hand is really not the stick of a shepherd, but it's the staff of God. God did not give Moses Pharaoh's staff. He gave him God's staff. When Moses threw the staff on the ground, his staff ate up all the serpents. There were staffs of the kingship. And the staff of your royalty will consume everything that raises its ugly head against you as something to stop you or hold you back. God has you right where He wants you. He knew that He had to get the courtship, meaning the courts of God, and the courtship of the Spirit of the Lord to bring, to usher Sarah into a position where she would take on the premier sense of being supreme in royalty by God, because God gave her His word of promise. A word of promise means only God can secure what He said. And when you understand that, you realize the deadness of your body, a challenge in your life, something that fell away, something that disappeared, something that fell apart, has nothing to do with your present or your future, but it's simply God saying, I'm making room for the royal position, the supreme power, the monarchy that I've called you into. And that's where you stand today. The word says they stood in that position. Even though they were destined for royalty and kingship, the only reason they didn't have it is because they didn't see it. And they remained slaves because they were slaves to themselves. If you have the faith to be born again, you have the faith of royalty. Because we are not born into slavery. We are not Hagar's seed. You are the seed of Abraham. God says you will be as a king to the nations. The origin of God's creation of mankind was royalty. But we still have a tendency to fear the world, to fear the business world, to fear the wealthy and the powerful and the influential and the government. And God says, but the government is on my shoulders. The kingdom of God dwells within you. You have the kingship on the inside of you. You have a royal coronation. Will you accept this call of royalty that God has crowned you with? We are crowned with His glory. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. Christ is seated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you understand how highly God has lifted you to a position of royal authority? Your faith isn't the faith to get you healed. Your faith isn't the faith to get you out of trouble. Your faith is the faith to remind you and to make you aware of your kingship, your royal standing, your royal authority. If you would believe that, you would find favor with men. God said to Joseph, the sheaves of the nations will bow to you. The stars will bow to you as though you were a king of the earth. And the first thing Joseph wanted to do was go brag about it. He wanted to tell all his brothers and tell his mom and his dad. Your influence isn't what you were called to do. Your influence is who you know you are called to be. Your anointing is powerless until you realize not what you are called as anointed, but who you are called to be as the anointed. It is your awareness. The word says a child, even though he owns everything, he owns the entire estate, he has the position of kingship until he gets out from under the tutorship. And that's where we've been for a long time. We keep needing to be tutored because we hear the word, but we don't confirm. God has said it will surely come to pass. And whatever God has said is the decree. See, when you stand in royal authority, you know that every subject, no matter who it is or what it is, has to bow to that royal authority. There's a different mindset. There's a different faith. It's royal faith. You're not concerned that someone doesn't like you. You're not worried about some having too little or being too late. Your word is the decree. You're always on time. You're always right where God wants you. You're always in position. You're anointed in kingship. The dignity of royalty rests on you. You can say a thing and God will bring it to pass. But Paul also warns us, and he said, listen, just don't come into this kingship with a double mindset. Don't come in saying that some authority or some power or some darkness is fighting you or struggling with you. There is no dark power in kingship. Their word is the law, and they stand affirmed to that law. Daniel, a friend of the king, was thrown in the pit because the royal decree of the king could not be broken, even though he was a friend. But because Daniel had a heart of kingship unto God, he didn't bow to the king's decree because it was against what God's kingship was in his own heart. So the kingship within Daniel overcame the kingship of the king, even though the king loved Daniel. The kingship on the inside of you says you're in position as a king in royalty, and no matter what takes place on the outside, no matter what happens or looks like it's dark or against you, God has you right where he wants you, and whatever the staff is, he has placed in your hand. It is not your staff. It is the staff of royalty. It is the staff of God. God says, I'm saying to you, the word says this promise was not just to those. And it wasn't just to Abraham, and it wasn't just to Sarah, but the same credit comes to you when you stand in the same faith. We're not just born again, but born again is incredible. But it takes the faith of royalty to be born again. Because we are born of a royal authority. God no longer looks at you as he did as slaves. God could not account Ishmael as the promise. Because Hagar didn't have the royal decree of princess. She could not carry heaven's decree. She was not one of faith. Her body was strong enough to produce seed. When Abraham received the word, his body became strong enough to produce seed. But God's promise was to his princess. No longer Sarai, but Sarah, not Abraham's queen, not his princess, mine, by my royal decree, by my word in you. And Sarah, you're going to have to take on the mind of royalty. And when you do, at the appointed time, the word will come to you. Well, she didn't get any stronger because she kept getting older. But when she believed God at the appointed time, the word of the Lord that she had been carrying was as the seed she was about to carry. Abraham received the promise and believed God, but Sarah had to carry it. You see, there's such unity where two or three come together in my name. God says, I am there. There is a royal decree in two or three coming together. There is a royal decree in the body coming together and believing we're not here to fight against evil. We are here to rule over the nations of the earth. Evil and darkness has no authority over our kingdom. God has given you the royal decree. You can go and ask a thing based on the anointing and the call of God. God has told you who you are, and they have to agree with you and turn over their wealth. They have to turn over their kingship. They have to turn over the blessing of the Lord. Our nation today is turning over a new leaf. God has turned the tables. They are worshiping with us, and they will worship the more. We see the name of Jesus displayed in places we've never seen his name. We see a courage arising. Why? Because people have begun to believe. The body of Christ has begun to believe. We're not just set free as slaves, made free. We are realized that we made ourselves slaves when our decree, all the time, our destiny was unto kingship, unto God. Royalty in the house of the Lord. The word says, now you are kings and priests to your God. Fear not. for the Lord your God is with you. Sarah laughed when she heard the word. She laughed with sweat. Imagine to have the faith of Sarah, to have the faith of Abraham. Imagine. That would be something. Don't you agree? To believe at 100 years old. And Abraham believed. And he went to a slave to bear the seed of promise. You can't do that. See, this day that we're living in is the call to kingship, and you can't do it with that kind of mindset. You are paused until you realize, I'm not set free to struggle in life. I'm brought into royalty to reign and rule, and not just in your tent. You're going to have to go beyond that. See, so often when we try to secure what we believe God wants us to do, we have the mindset still, half and half, half slave, half free, half bound, half empowered, kind of in the middle of a coronation. See, when God calls you to do something that you know you don't have the strength to do, that you question in your own mind whether or not it's actually possible, you're really considering your body dead, incapable. But your coronation takes place when you say, God said it. And guess what? It's not just what's going to happen to me, it's who I am. See, God was telling Abraham, this isn't what's happening to you, Abraham. This is who you are. You are the father of many nations. And I'm going to prove your faith to you. Take your son, your only begotten son, and go offer him. Because I'm going to prove your royal stature in me. You are not called just to see kings come out of you. You are called to be a king from whence kings come from. Sarah, you're not just called to bear a seed in your old age. You're called to be a princess through whom kingship comes from. See, a princess can have a baby and it can become king. You are the birth of that seed. You are Abraham's seed. Not a seed from slavery, a seed into royalty. You have to have royal faith, though. You have to believe that you can step into the highest court in the world and that God will honor you. See, Joseph believed and he went and bragged to his brothers, and God said, you don't have the heart. You don't have the faith of royalty. As a matter of fact, you're bragging because of insecurity. But I'm going to show you who you are. When Abraham offered his seed, God said, no, Abraham, now I know. I know you know who you are. And God prepared the sacrifice. And he said, right here, right now, this is the seed of promise. Until this moment, until this time, until you realize your royal stature, your royal authority, that heaven will come to you at your command of faith and will answer you. This child, this seed, was a son. But now, because you have made him an offering to me, God said, now. Your seed will be like the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven and will rule and will become kings and priests unto me. God said to Joseph, this is what I'm going to do. But you can't brag about it because you think you're in a position where your brothers or even your father and mother will bow to you. God said, I'm going to take you into a place because until your faith takes you someplace you don't think you can survive in. You don't think you're capable of doing. You don't realize your royalty. Because it takes more than deliverance from slavery to become a king. It takes being born into a different stature of power. And that stature of power doesn't allow you. It doesn't give you the simplicity of blaming someone else for what you're going through. Because your kingship now. Your royalty. Slaves can't rule over you. Sin can't rule over you. Doubt can't rule over you. Your royalty, your word, your decree has to come to pass. It cannot be broken. See, that's the royal stature of God's word in us, but we take it so often as though we're just slaves set free and we're trying to make it through until we see the redemption of our bodies. But you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and your kingship and your coronation isn't one of the flesh, but of the Spirit. That's why God says the kingdom is within you. What is he saying? You have to get this revelation. You are kings and priests unto your God. You are born into a royal status, into a royal situation, a monarchy. You're monarchs unto God. You are kings and priests unto the Lord. The trying of your faith makes you happy. When you know your royalty, because you know at your command, it's going to have to show the glory of God. Jesus said, it pleased him to do what he did. It pleased him. It pleased the Father to do what he did. Because the royal decree was Jesus would be Lord, Redeemer, and Savior over all the nations of all the earth. See, Jesus knew the royal decree would come to pass because he knew he was royalty. Same with you. The royal decree has to come to pass because you're royalty. You can't blame the devil, who is not royalty, for your situation. You are royalty. You rule over the nations of the earth. You rule over every dark power. You walk over darkness. And when you show up, God is with you and darkness becomes light. You're royalty. The decree of God's promise is in you. You cannot be denied. So God was able to take a man by the name of Joseph, show him a vision that possibly made him a little arrogant, and then made him ride through the streets as Jesus did, in a form, in humility and surrender to God, knowing there's more than me just hearing what God said. I have to know who he said it to. You know God has spoken a word, but do you know he said it to? Not to someone arrogant, not to someone high-minded, but to someone of lowly decree, saying, I am born of royal priesthood. I am born of a royal nation. I don't have the luxury of blaming a devil or a government or a nation or a time or an economy. Because you're over that. That's what the word said. The governments will be on his shoulders. He said, I give you authority in all the earth. When he created Adam and Eve, he gave them royal priesthood. But they denounced it because the word of God was their crown. The moment that you step into a position that you think you are not capable of it, that's your day of coronation. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What does that say? The same faith that gives you the life of Christ, that causes you, that brings you into a born-again relationship with God, is the same anointing as a king. There is no difference. The anointing of salvation, the faith of salvation, the righteousness of salvation is the righteousness of a king. Jesus is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He rules over the nations of men. That's your call. He showed himself to be man so he could show you how much like God you are. How much like royalty you are. And he surrendered himself so the deadness of your mind would fall away. It wasn't Abraham's body he had to overcome. It was his mind. Because the moment God said, his body was quickened by the word of the Lord, no matter what age he was. And Abraham received the word of the Lord, and it says that he would not waver because he would not consider himself. What was his power? He did not consider his body dead. He would not consider it the act of the word of God. He would not consider it essential or part of the equation. But he counted God and his word royal, holy, a decree, and it would come to pass. When we were born again, we acknowledge that it is through the blood of Christ, it is through the faithfulness of God, it is through the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are born again. It's the same coronation of kingship. It's the same authority, it's the same power. But as the word said, because they did not believe, the enemy came and stole because they didn't know they were kings and priests to God. Jesus is talking about the sower. He said the sower went to sow seed, and the enemy came and stole the seed. Now, if you want to call it the devil, you can call it the devil. It's not what he's talking about. You can call it that. You can call it a thief. But the real enemy of God is told to us. It's recorded in the Word. The real enemy of God is what? Carnal mind. To be carnally minded is to be an enemy of God. Enmity against God. You'd never have to overcome another spirit in your life if you overcome your mind by the Word of God. And that's what Abraham did. And the moment that you do, you begin to realize your coronation, your kingship. You are crowned the moment you believe God will do something that is superior to what you're capable of. You will be crowned with authority and power and joy and peace once you realize the Word of God is greater than your inability. God's Word is supreme in you. And when you receive the supremacy of His Word, you become supreme royalty in Christ. Christ is royalty. He is called the King of Kings. By whom are you saved? Christ. Who has anointed you? Christ. Who is He? King of what? All kings. What is His kingdom? A royal dominion. What is His word? A royal decree. Who has received it? We have. Where did He put that word? Inside of you. Where does the kingdom of God preside? Inside of you. Who are you? Royalty. Sarah had to believe in the royal decree of God. She was made royalty. She was the princess of the kingdom of God by the word of the Lord established to her. And she gave birth to Isaac. And the word says that she laughed when she first heard. But after she bore the son, her son, Isaac, she said, "The Lord has made me to laugh. And everyone that sees me will laugh with me." See, in the beginning, she laughed at God. At the latter, she laughed because of God. First time, she laughed in doubt. The second time, she laughed in wonder. The first time, she laughed in fear. The last time, she laughed in faith. The first time, she laughed in woe. The last time, she laughed in worship. And she said, "Everyone that looks at me will say," it's a wonder, "they will laugh with me." And then she said, "Who would have said that Abraham's wife would be nursing a baby at my age? Blessed be the name of the Lord." You are going to care for life that is youthful. You're going to give birth to life that is youthful. A new day, a new song, a new spring, a new word. God has raised you up with kingship understanding. But we forget to be crowned. We forget the coronation of royalty. Your faith is one of royalty. You have royal faith. And not the faith that you've worked yourself into because you've went through some things. But James says, count it all joy when you enter these different temptations, because God is proving you that your stability is in the coronation of the kingship of God that dwells on the inside of you. You can do it. God has you right where you are. And all you have to do, really, literally, all you have to do is accept your crowning. Except that you are monarch of the kingdom of God. You have a royal decree over your life. You are blessed of God. You can go anywhere and do anything that God tells you to do. Anywhere, anything. After Joseph had been abused by his brothers, after he had been thrown in a hole, sold, like wheat, dishonored by the captain's wife, thrown in prison. He began to realize something. God is getting me closer to Pharaoh's house. God is getting closer to Pharaoh's courtship. How can I be a king? How can the sheaves bow before me? How can the stars bow to me as though I were a king? Unless I am of royal standing. Unless I am in royal position. See, a great deal to do with your royal position. And you can't operate in the kingdom without the understanding of royal authority, royal power. That's when you lose your will and you say, the word of the Lord is my word. And he is King of Kings. We say it all the time. He is Lord of Lords. He rules over the nations of the earth. The same decree to Adam and Eve. You are to rule over the garden. You are to be royalty in the garden. Receive the word of the Lord. You have to understand that no weapon formed against you will prosper. You're royalty. You rule in the kingship of God. You have to come into the understanding that no weapon formed against me, no evil entity, no darkness, because God has made you the light of royalty. He's given you royal faith. You don't have common faith. Hagar had common faith. And Ishmael was not accounted as promise. But Isaac was, because Isaac came by faith. And the body that produced the faith became that of royalty. You are called to a royal priesthood. You are called to be kings, princesses unto your God and unto his kingship. You can bless your children. They may walk through a time, but they're the seed of royalty. Do you understand? But if you don't know it, you won't treat them like it, and they won't know it. The word says, even though the son is heir to everything, unless at some point the dad says, it's time for you to step out from under the slavery of tutorship. And the word says, that's who we were. We were those slaves under tutorship. And realize your authority, your royal position, your royal standing in God. See, righteousness, which we're called to be the righteousness of God in Christ, is a royal decree. Righteousness is royalty. And until the son realizes, until he hears his dad say, hey son, it's time. And if dad keeps saying it and saying it and saying it, and you won't hear it and hear it and hear it, then you've determined yourself. You've made yourself a slave. But mom, since this is Mother's Day, you need to make a decree and you need to treat your children as a royalty of God. Doesn't mean you give them their way. It means you understand the position of royalty. You speak of royal faith. You can't pull up the past. You can't beat your children over the head with the past and expect them to have hope for the future. You can't tell your children what they didn't do that they should have and what they did do that they shouldn't have and expect them to know what they are supposed to do. Jesus didn't come and say to us, you're all just miserable and you all deserve hell. He came and said, I love you. I came to save you. I came to heal you. I came to tell you I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the way to the Father. He came to say, I came to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. If you will believe yourself into the position of Sarah, if you will believe yourself into the position of authority and kingship and power, you may have to put yourself off. See, Abraham, what the word is saying here is Abraham forgot about his body. He discounted his body. You're dead, just like you're supposed to do. We are dead in Christ. Our body is dead, but we are made alive in him. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. If you make that decree, if you say that word, if you believe what you're saying by faith, then you have to acknowledge that you've been raised up in royal standards. You've been raised up in supremacy of royalty. You've been raised to the supreme courts of God. You stand in authority and power, and that is the kind of faith that is going to bring about, and the nations of the earth will give you their treasures. And all the treasures of the earth will be given over to you. And the Lord will reign and rule in you. And the nations of the earth will call you blessed of the Most High God. Joseph said, I don't know what you need to know. Different than the beginning when he says, you're all going to bow to me. I don't know. But he said, God knows. God knows. And the word of the Lord is sure. And the word of the Lord will be in my mouth. God knows. He has you right where he wants you. He wants you to know that you have royal faith. He wants you to know you are in the perfect position. And all you have to do is stand your ground because God said. All you have to do is take the heart of Sarah and say, I am called into by a royal decree, into royal priesthood, and God has given me the nations of the earth. Can you believe that? Or are you just going to stay Abraham's princess? Do you just stay comfortable in your tent? Are you asking God to make you comfortable in your tent? Do you disbelieve the word of the Lord that it said, this is not just Abraham, it's to everyone that believes? Can you imagine having the faith of Abraham and Sarah? You should. Because you're destined for it. You're destined for the same faith. If you believe you're born again, you're telling God you believe that you can be royalty. How do you think you're going to reign and rule in the nations of the earth? How do you think you're going to be seated with Christ in heavenly places if you're not royalty? Does it maybe give you an idea as to why you don't see the authority of the kingdom of God in your own life when you have denied your own dignity, authority? Your own coronation. Because you're king, you can't blame anybody else. Because you're a princess, you can't blame anyone else. You know why? You reign and rule. You stand in authority. You have no excuse. You cannot blame anyone. That power is given to you. When Adam and Eve knew for the first time that they doubted God, the first thing they did was what weakened them. They doubted God and they blamed someone else. See, true kingship doesn't have anyone to blame because you're in charge. You're in authority. There's no one to blame. Or if you do, you're not acknowledging your authority and your royalty in the kingdom of God, who reigns and rules over the nations of men. Who is Lord over all Lord, King over all kings, and even the darkness is light about him. See, it's more than a word. It's an absolute understanding of your position and who Christ in you is, the true hope of God's glory being manifest in a kingdom of believers that say, I am born into royalty because I have royal faith. There is no faith outside of Christ, and that faith in Christ is only royalty. It's only kingship faith. So the next time you think about believing God for something, think about what you're asking Him for. Jesus said, why are you concerned about what you're going to eat or drink? You act as though you're slaves and paupers. He said, consider the lilies of the valley. They don't work. I'm not saying you shouldn't work. I can see some of you going, praise God, I can quit my job. Consider them. They're royalty. They're the royalty of the field. They don't have a mind like you. They don't have a call like you. You know what they have that makes them who they are? Word of God. God said. But you know what they don't do? They don't disagree with Him. They don't have anyone to blame. Without the strength to do so, these tender little plants break through the hardest of soils and they show their glory and they live in their splendor. That's who you are. And Abraham received strength. His body became that of a younger man. He received strength because he refused to acknowledge that who he was or how old he was or what he did or didn't do had anything to do at all with the authority of kingship, God's word. What God said was the kingship of his life. What God said was the royal authority. What God said would come to pass. And God said, Abraham, you've got the faith. If you have the faith to be a king, you have the faith to be born again. And his faith was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's pretty powerful. Wouldn't it be amazing to have the faith of Abraham and Sarah? Well, what other kind of faith do you think you have? But do you know not just what you are anointed to do, do you know who you are anointed to be? Stand to your feet with me today. In whom do you believe you have believed? In what position do you think you stand? What power? Who reigns and rules in your life? Who is your Savior? Can anyone answer me? You sure? Who is Savior to you? Jesus. Who is He? He's King. He's the King of Heaven. Who is your Father? Who is your Father? Are you Sarai? Or are you Sarah? Who are you? Can you believe beyond the corridors of your own home? Can you? Can you believe beyond your position, your plot of dirt? Can you believe? God said, Abraham, I want you to do something. I'm going to work a faith, a royal faith inside of you. I want you to look up at the stars. Count them. I can't. I have no idea. Can you imagine God say, count the stars if you can? Do I have to know? Because I have no idea. God says, so is your seed. So is your seed. Sand of the sea. Count it. Tell me how many grains of sand. I am fully persuaded that if the body of Christ believed who they really were, if they really, really, really understood their royal stature, they'd think different. They'd act different. Jealousy, envy, bitterness, hatred, strife would fall away. It would. You stop competing, so you'd stop being jealous. You wouldn't do a lot of the dumb things you do because you're desperate. You'd hear God, and you'd walk straight forward and do what God called you to do. God will do more with that stick in your hand than He will with the staff you keep waiting for. Moses, what's in your hand? A stick. God says, no, that's actually mine, because I say so. That's the staff of God. And you will rule over Egypt. And you will rule over Pharaoh's staff with my staff by the word of the Lord. It begins right here and right here. What do you pray for? God help me this. God help me that. God deliver me. How about, Lord, who are you? Show me my kingship. Show me my royal position with you. You may be believing God for I'm going to just say a new minivan, or third owner car that's better than yours. If you were a king, you wouldn't do that. You don't really know what to believe and how to believe until you know who you are. I doubt that a king would say, hey, find me the best deal you can on a Honda. Know who you are. Now let's go to the discount store and see if we can find some clothes without, a bunch of holes in them. I'm not putting down secondhand cars. I'm not putting down clothing. I'm trying to give you a perspective. But we do that with God. God, if you just help me out here. God, if you just help me out there. And do you ever notice those prayers just keep going and going and going? Because he said, when you pray, but you ask amiss. But say, Holy Father, who art in heaven, your name is great and supreme, majestic. Your kingdom be revealed in me. Because if I know who I am in your kingdom, if I know my royalship, I'm going to pray a different prayer. I'm going to stand with a little straighter posture. I'm going to believe with a greater faith. See, God said to Abraham and Sarah, he said the same thing to Moses, said the same thing to Joseph. You don't need, Sarah, Abraham, you don't need any more than you already have. You don't need to be any younger. You don't need any more than you already have. You don't need to be any stronger. But you do need to believe a little greater. You need to believe a little higher. You need to believe a little more royal. Take on this kingship of God. Let the kingdom of God be within you. Can you see what Jesus is saying? Show us the kingdom. Jesus is saying, but it doesn't come that way. He says, and anyone that tells you it does, they're not telling you the truth. He said, the kingdom. And we just think about walking in a kingdom. We're not hearing. He's not just talking about going someplace. Matter of fact, he's not talking about going anyplace. He's talking the opposite of going. He's talking about being. Don't you understand? Royalty is within your blood. You are born of the blood of kings. King of kings. You were born of the blood of a royal decree. And the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. See, our nation is a promise to us, and the blessing of our nation is the same as it was the nation that Abraham and Sarah lived in. It's the same way. The blessing is the same. This is how the blessing comes. God said, and the nations will be blessed because of you. And the nations will only be blessed through you. There are people that have a lot more resources than you do. But do they carry the blessing? Do they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think you need to walk into a congregation of just believers in order to see God glorified? Jesus didn't do that. They spoke against him because he went into places because he knew his royal decree. When Peter said, far be it from you, Lord, Jesus knew his royal position, his royal decree, his supremacy, his supremeship. He said, get behind me, Satan, you savor the things that be of men and not of God. For this purpose I came into the world, that the Father would be glorified. Jesus made God known to us. Your royal decree, your royal anointing, your royal faith is to make God known. You can throw the figures around. You can try and figure out your best approach. But those that are anointed by God, you're anointed by God. And your influence is your royal decree. Your influence is your royal anointing. You show your royalty as Moses did. Here's a stick. But this isn't a stick. This is the staff of God. And God said, and Pharaoh listened. Pharaoh paid attention. Because that staff in Moses' hand represented the living word of the living God. God made that staff live. Made Moses afraid of it. And then told Pharaoh, take your royal position. Take it up by its tail. And now your staff is alive. And you can rule over any darkness, over any serpent, over any beguiling mindset. You have the power to rule in nations and kings and kingdoms. You have the power to take over 1 million people through a dry, barren land and see fountains of water come up out of them. See a rock yield water that flows to nations and feeds flocks, and generations will talk about you. You have the power to stand before me and see me write with my finger on stone my commandments and give them to you. You have the right and the authority and the power because of my word in you to stand in my presence and see my glory shroud you in such a way that unbelievers will fear you. They won't even be able to look at the glow of God's glory on your face, but they will be surrendered to your anointing. Not just the anointing that rests on you, but who the anointing has made you to be. Yes, if you can believe, if you're born again, you have the faith to believe you're born of royalty and take that position in the earth. This is not the last stand. This is the beginning of one of many. And this is the greatest season of your life. Father, we give you praise for your kingship. We praise you for your royalty, O God. Thank you that we were born of God, born of the seed of Abraham, a seed of promise. And that promise, the word says, was not one or not many, but one, which is Christ. And we are born of that royal kingship. We are born of that authority. Nations have to surrender to the will of the Father, not our will, but that we would know you. And that we would take on the attitude as Paul, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and understanding that you may know him better, that you may know him more. And doesn't that make sense now? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Abraham's righteousness was because he accepted his royalty, which was the word of God. It's far superior to his weakness, and he wouldn't even acknowledge that he was incapable or unable. He wasn't enabled, he wasn't unable, he was willing, and he believed. He didn't have to be stronger, he just had to believe stronger. He didn't have to be more, he just needed to believe more. And you can do that because you're destined to believe God's word. And Father, we give you praise this day. In barren places, the Lord will make himself known. In dry places, in cities, in states where the word of the Lord and his righteousness have been denied, where people have rejected his word and made idols of themselves. They have rejected God's word of righteousness and God's word of holiness. In those barren places, the Lord will do wonders, and he will do them through you. He will work wonders. He will work signs. He will bring his mysteries and his treasures to the surface, and people will know this is God. The bread of the Lord will set high upon the grounds, and the people will eat the bread of heaven. Jesus said, if you're going to be with me and as me, you have to eat of my body. This is a royal decree of God. Only the priests can eat of the holy bread. And we are the priests of God. A righteous and royal kingdom. And God, we take our position. I want you to stand with me. If you have your pulling on heaven band, tug on it. If you don't, grab your wrist. I'm grabbing my rope. We're going to make a decree today. And something is going to change literally in the atmosphere of God's world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all those that dwell therein. People's minds are going to be changed. God will show you his favor that he has for your life. God will do. God, not my will, not your will. God's will be done. Will you trust the Lord? Will you trust what God says? Will you be Adam and Eve in the garden again? Will you be Abraham and Sarah in the earth again? Will you say, God, at your word? I don't need any knowledge. I don't need any wisdom. I don't need any favor from anybody. I need your favor to go before me. I need your yes and your amen. And upon that, God, I will see the favor of the Lord spring forth. The rock will give its water again. The heavens will rain meat. The ground will be filled with bread. You'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. You'll clothe me in your glory. You'll be a fire, a wall of protection around me. Your word will be yes, and in me, amen. God, we give you praise today. And we declare, Lord, that you are glorified in the earth. What will not bear fruit will be uprooted, but what is willing to bow and surrender, and that is to be blessed, to bow to you, O God, to surrender to your will be pruned and bear fruit in this season, some 60, some 100-fold, God. I pray over your people, Lord, that they will see the strength of Abraham, a faith that doesn't waver, strong in your word. And that we will walk as we will walk, is the word of the Lord. You will walk as a testimony before me, says the Lord. The young and the old will honor you and respect your faith. They will bow to your blessing, because your blessing is to bow to the authority of God's word. When God blessed Adam and Eve, when God blessed the earth, the blessing was, keep my word. Here's your blessing. Keep my word. Believe my word. As long as you believe my word, as long as you keep my word, the earth is blessed. And you are blessed. There is no shame on you. God will wipe your mind of all your shame. He will wipe your mind of all your fear. Confidence from heaven will flow into you. And the confidence that you walk in won't be arrogance, but the authority of your anointing. And this is that day. God's anointing be poured out on you. Even in the presence of what appears to be an enemy, God prepares a table before you. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup runs over. Only good can find and pursue you all the days of your life. And you are blessed to stay and remain in the presence of the Lord now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, come on, lift your voice in the house. Father, we give you praise and thank you for this great day. We bless the mothers. We bless the mothers, the young mothers, those that are waiting to be mothers, those that are pregnant with a promise, those who are older mothers. I declare the blessing of the Lord. And I declare the blessing of Sarah. God has given you a new name. And that name is the blessing of royalty. God bless your body. Your strength be renewed as Sarah's strength was renewed. Men, God's strength in your body, your heart, and your mind. As God strengthened Abraham. But this wasn't to their will, but to do the will of God. And God will fill you with so much word. God will give you promise as he gave Abraham, as he gave Sarah, that it will be beyond your imagination. He will do, as he said, exceeding abundant beyond all you know to ask or think. This is the year of God's increase. This is the year of God's fruit. This is the year of God's favor. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. And so we release from the kingdom of our God and of his Christ and his kingship, the blessed favor of God in the earth, in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted. What a great day. What a great season. What a great hour. There isn't another day like this moment in time. You're exactly, God has you exactly where he wants you to be. And you're favored of the Lord.